All right, good. I find there's a different spirit when we sing. I don't think it's singing that gives a different spirit. I think it's a different spirit that causes us to sing. When we have a spirit. And so when I hear the power of the singing from people, I'm thinking, man, they've come here to hear something from the Word of God. Amen? Amen. So let's get there. First Peter chapter 5. We are really working our way through chapter 5. We wanted to see how much we could get out of this chapter. We're going to deal with something a little bit different this morning than where we kind of this chapter 5 is really Peter dealing with some last things. It's kind of how you do a letter, right? When you write a letter to somebody at the end, you kind of get some of those last things in there. I almost wonder at times if the apostles, when they were writing the letter, because of the situation there, they never knew if it was the last letter they'd write. Right? They're all, you know, facing death, you know, the apostles at this time. Of course, the Lord knows what. Can you imagine? Think about this. God used these different men to give us everything we would need. Isn't that pretty amazing? Right? And grouped together, we have the full counsel of God through this. I mean, we couldn't do that on accident. You know what I mean? We couldn't do that on purpose, certainly. 1 Peter chapter 5, as soon as you get to verse 7, let's all stand together, if you would. Stand with me as we honor God in the reading of His Word. Chapter 5 and verse 7, I'm just going to read one verse to get started this morning. The Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for this time this morning, thankful for Your Word, and Lord, that we don't here just get here and encourage one another with our own thoughts, but Lord, we have Your Word to direct us, to instruct us. And Lord, I pray that this morning You would give us here from Your Word that which would stir our hearts. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to have an open heart, open mind to receive what it is that You set before us. And Lord, I pray that You would, Lord, help me to have my thoughts and my mind gathered that I might be able to present in a way that's clear. And Lord, we'll give You thanks for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So, salvation is not simply a debt being paid. Okay, let me say that again. Salvation is not simply a debt being paid. The debt is part of it. You're like, where is he going? No, the debt is part of it. But there's so much more than that. There's an adoption, right? We have been made, the Bible said we've been given the power to be called the sons of God. We've been made to be children of God. I mean, there's so much more to salvation than just getting our debt paid. So much more. Starts there, amen? Justification. We talked about that in the men's Sunday school lesson. But I want us to see, first point this morning is this, He cares for you. This isn't just pay the debt and let us go. God didn't just create the world, spin it, and leave it alone. Amen? Aren't you glad for that? You know, there's a lot of people that deists, that's kind of what they think. They think God created it all, but then He just spun it, let it go, and went on to other things and just left it going in the world. Could you imagine? Whew. Praise the Lord, He cares for us, as the Bible tells us over. Thus what we find, He has given us the instruction to cast all our care upon Him. So, He cares for us beyond any capacity that we can comprehend. You know, God cares for us like a mother cares for her child. No, that doesn't even... I've seen some moms that don't do a very good job of caring for the children, right? He cares for us like a husband cares for their wife. Okay, that sometimes it's pretty great, but sometimes it's not so much. So what do we compare it to? How somebody loves their dog, maybe. No, there's nothing. There's nothing that we can compare God's love to that would actually get us a good picture. God does give us some pictures. Matter of fact, He talks about the father that meets the need of a kid, but He said, isn't your heavenly Father going to do so much more? He loves us beyond our comprehension. What a wonderful thing. So when we understand, I mean, when we truly understand that level of care, we can cast our care upon Him when we realize how He cares for us. This is the full, listen folks, this is the full expression of what humility is. We talked about that last week. The full expression of humility. We find this that's connected. Look at verse 6 again, or not again, but we looked at it last week. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. And then what do we have there? There's a colon. This is a continuation. So it's, he said, first of all, he said, listen, humble yourselves, right? Under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. And then he says with this, part of that thing is casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. So what I'm saying is the full expression of humility is what he's talking about here in verse 7, casting your care upon Him. The word casting is used only one other time in the New Testament. And it's when the disciples cast their garments upon the colt, which Jesus was going to ride into town on. Right? The idea of this word is to forcefully toss it upon another. This is our horse. Okay? We're to cast our cares upon the Lord. Why? Because He cares for you. No. You ever thought you could rely on somebody? And they say, hey, if you ever need anything, give me a call. And then you give them a call and they're like, oh, man. How about next week? Right? You ever done that? You ever been that person? You know, it's kind of an American phraseology. Hey, if you need anything, let me know. And so it's hard for me when I tell that to people. It's hard. No, seriously. Right? They'll call me. Seriously. And they're like, okay. And they're like, no, I mean it. And then they're like, they'll never call you. So, because I'm telling you, in our human nature, we don't really mean it. But I'm telling you, listen, and this is what I'm saying. God cares. His care for us, we can't comprehend. It's a different level. And so it's this word he says, in humility, that expression of humility is to cast our care. Just like the apostles, they took their garments off, and not all the garments, like an outer garment. They took their garments up and cast it on that colt so that Jesus could sit upon that thing. I'm telling you, it's like you throw a blanket over a horse and then you put the saddle on. You ever see, anybody here ever saddled up a horse? Okay, some of y'all have seen it done at least. You put that, you throw, you don't just kind of gently put the blanket on. No, you kind of throw that thing over and that horse, when you throw that up on that horse, the horse buckles down and drops to the ground, right? No, the horse just like, we ready. And then you know, I've seen, I've not done it. I've watched, and they grab that, saddles are pretty heavy duty. So you're grabbing that thing and you're throwing it up there and you cast it on, it flips over and then you get underneath it. Since that thing, the horse just stands there. I mean, some are a little bit ornery. I get that. But I mean, a horse that's ready for that, that wants you to ride them. I mean, wants you to be on them, wants you to be, listen, I'm telling you, it's quite a thing. When we are to cast our care upon the Lord because He wants us to. He cares for us. So, let me ask you this question. Do you have any cares? Three of you do? Okay. All right. Well, those three is who I'm preaching to this morning. Now, we all do, don't we? Anything that causes you to lose sleep? Do you have anything that causes you to lose sleep? My wife is having surgery tomorrow. And it's I don't say minor or major. What's a minor surgery? If they put you out and they're using cutting instruments, it's probably not minor. I don't know. But anyway, she said, you know, I had my hand cut. I said, I wasn't worried about that at all. And now this, you know, I'm waking up in the middle of the night forgetting things. You know, so sometimes we have things that, you know, she just needs to trust God. No. There's things that cause you to lose sleep or to spend unimaginable amounts of time trying to figure out how you're going to deal with it. You have any cares like that? That you just spend time and time figuring out how you're going to deal with the situation in your life? Anybody ever had that? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, right. Let's just, don't put your hand up if that's you, right? That's kind of the way that goes. We're all like that. That's kind of what this world is about. These things coming upon us. Do you think God knows that? Yeah, He knows about that. I'm going to tell you this morning how to deal with that. those cares that brought, okay, and how to deal with things that keep you awake, how to deal with it. Here's the answer. You ready for the answer? Just stop worrying about it. Okay, that's my counsel. Write that down. And just every time you're like, Pastor said, stop worrying. Oh, what was I thinking? Isn't that good counsel? Just stop it. Right? Anybody ever gave you that kind of counsel? You just need to stop worrying about that. I didn't think of that one. I can remember one time I went into my pastor and I said, hey, Pastor, I'm trying to figure something out. You know, what do I do? He said, I said, this has been going on. He said, what should I do? He said, you need to start by praying about it. I wanted to say to him, I didn't think about that. You know, I always remember, I don't give people that counsel. Just go pray about it. You know, okay, I'll deal with you. Maybe he was like, I don't know. You know, which I get that as well. But here's the thing. Just stop worrying about it. It ain't going to work, is it? Okay, how about this one? Stop thinking about it. Is that any better? Just don't think about it. Just quit thinking about it. Sometimes people's counsel, I think they really, it's, you ever have people tell you stuff like that? You're like, you've never had anything in your life that's bothered you, have you? Because just don't worry about it. Don't think about it. I wish. That's what I'm trying to do. That's why I'm keeping myself busy and I look like a fool because I'm trying to do all kinds of crazy stuff. Like, but as I'm doing everything I'm doing, it's still just living in my mind, right? Okay. How about this one? Give it to the one that's already thinking about you. Okay. Listen, I can't stop worrying. I can't stop thinking about it. But you know what I can do? I can give it to the one, I can cast it on, I can give it to the one, can I tell you this, that's already thinking about you. Do you understand God already knows what's going on in your life before it happened in your life? He knew it was coming. And he says this, cast some of your care upon him. No, that's not what it says at all. Cast all your care. Cast all your care is the idea that's going on here. Casting all your care upon him is what it says in verse 7. This is, can I say, folks, when you cast your care upon him, you thrust it upon him, it's the only true place of peace. Grab a hold of that for a minute. Listen, we cannot, listen to what I'm saying to you, folks, grab this morning. We cannot have peace while trying to hold on to our own worries. No. We cannot, this is emphatic, we cannot have peace while we are holding on to our own cares, worries, and burdens. We can't. We cannot. This life, this body, and this mind was not created to operate like that. That's the problem. It's not created to operate like that. God created us to turn to Him. Cast our care upon Him. So if we're holding on to it, God said, can I say this? God didn't wire us to do that. The burdens of this life are beyond the human capacity to successfully control. Too much. It's too much. That's why so many people are full of anxiety. I'd like to say today. Always have been. Why do you think the Bible tells us about this stuff? Man, you know, I bet they didn't have all the anxiety medicine back then. No, they had wine. They had other things. Don't try to think. They had sin. That's why the Word of God talks about sin. There was other things. We have things today try to help, but I'm telling you, it's the same situation. So many people are full of anxiety. You were not ever meant to handle what you're trying to handle. Not meant to. It's not you. It's not that you're... It's that you're not able to do it. We're not made that way. I want you to get that this morning. I want you to understand, man, I'm just not good at this. I'm full of anxiety. I always have this. There's something in my life. So is everyone else. Yeah, but I can see they're different than me. Okay. Some people are better at coping. Okay, we'll give you that. But none of us are meant to. Can I tell you, even those people that are coping, they don't have peace if they haven't cast it upon the Lord. You with me this morning? God's created us in a way. Understanding this truth. Now, is where humility enters in. I cannot handle it, so I must cast it upon the Lord. No, this is where pride can become our our enemy. Well, always it's our enemy. But in this area, you're like, no. You know what we'll say? I can do it. Hey, you need anything? No, I can handle it. I'm not talking about, you know, moving. I'm not talking about that kind. This is a physical thing. I'm talking about in our life, dealing with our life. No, I can handle it. Can I tell you this morning? No, you can't. You're not wired that way. Yeah, but I've just learned how to deal with it. No, you didn't. You've learned how to cope, but you're coping in a place of non-peace. And God said, you know what it takes? It takes humility, which we're all really awesome at, right? We're all really awesome at humility. So here's the thing. It's the practical outworking of humility. It's this thing of casting our care upon Him. It's the practical outworking of humility. Believing, here's what it means. Believing God is wise enough to govern my situation better than I can. Okay, well, here's the other side. In other words, watch this. Worry is pride in disguise. Worry is pride in disguise. And say, no, I can do this. I'm not that. I'm good. I'm coping just fine. Now, we wouldn't say that word, but no, I'm doing fine. Why do we do that? Why do we lie? We know, and you know, our face shows it. I know I'm lying. They know I'm lying. But and then the other person says, "Are you sure?" You know, we don't know what to say. Liar. Tell somebody. No, don't tell me. Sometimes what the problem is, we don't know what to do. How do I deal with it when I'm overwhelmed? I don't want to seem overwhelmed. So worry is pride in disguise, and rest is humility in action. Humility. It's like, how do I do humility? Right? I just want to be more humble. You know, there's no books about that. Just this one. You know how you do humility? Right here. Cast your cares upon Him. Well, how do you do that? It means you trust in the Lord. Rest is a wonderful thing. But resting doesn't mean I do nothing. Rest doesn't mean kicking back on my recliner. Now, that's a different kind of, I'd enjoy that. It's a different kind of rest. But this rest we're talking about, it doesn't mean I don't do anything. To rest is to actively give my care to Him, trusting Him with the outcome. Well, watch this. Here's what it means. It means this is a burden. This is something in my life. You know what I'm going to do, God? I'm just going to trust You with it. Doesn't mean I sit around and do nothing. It means, God, I understand now, God, me worrying about it doesn't help. Worse than doesn't help, me worrying about it is my pride saying I can figure it out better than You, God. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to let You worry about it. So and then I'm never going to think about it or worry about it again, right? Not necessarily. We don't have an off switch. We don't have an erase button in our head. I wish we did. Hey, man, I wish we did. But we don't. So I'm going to cast on Him. And then you know what's going to happen? I'm going to start being concerned again. Wait, I know God's got a plan. Do you know that? Because if you don't know that, we got another problem, don't we? It's our trust in the Lord. So here's the thing. We rest by giving it to the Lord and trusting Him for the outcome. You think, well, I wish I'd have done something. If I'd have done something different, I wouldn't have had all this problem in my life. Does God know what's coming? So if something comes up that's problem, I wish I'd have just done what I wanted to do to start with. Well, are we trusting God with the outcome? Or are we doing what we think we need to do? So, because here's the thing, folks. God has another task for us to do. And our greatest task isn't worrying about what's coming up in our life. Matter of fact, can I tell you this? Worry keeps us from doing what God wants us to do. Man, it's a time consumer. I want us to go into this next thing. Look at verse 8. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Okay, here's the thing. Point number two. We are all in this thing together. Amen? We're in this thing together. Who's all? I'm talking about brethren. He says at the end of verse 9, he says, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Okay, know this. That's the deal. The same afflictions that you're dealing with, the same afflictions that you're experiencing in this life, the brethren are also engaged in. Nobody has it like me. Everyone does. We just all deal with it and cope with it differently. What we ought to do is learn to cast it upon the Lord. Think of it this way. We're all out on a prairie in the Sahara Desert. I want to paint a picture for you. We're all out there grazing upon the wealth of the land that God has blessed us with, right? And just got that picture. I've watched National Geographic, right? And we're a bunch of gazelles, right, out there. But there comes a drought at times, right? Comes a drought at times, and it gets challenging. And it gets difficult to get all that we need, and we got to, keep trying to find ways to get these things in our life. And so, you know what happens? Sometimes, a couple of us both go after the same clump of grass, right? And we might get a little disagreement about who should get that blade of grass, right? Because I was here first, and you're like, no, I was here first. No, it's supposed to be me getting that. And you're like, no, I'm probably better at getting that grass. You know what I'm saying? We can get a little disagreement, because there isn't a whole field of grass out there. We got to sometimes disagree about how we're going to get this blade of grass. And you say, if you eat all that grass, there's not going to be any more grass. Don't get it down to the root, because then it won't grow back. You know what I'm saying? We can have a little bit of, we could be a little bit of a brawler, argumentative, right? But we're people, right? So we sometimes clash as we navigate this life. I'm talking about we as a church. We can sometimes clash as we're navigating this life. Amen? Amen. Happens. But there's a bigger issue, a larger problem that's before us. There's an adversary. The adversary doesn't want to take our grass. He doesn't want our grass. You know what the adversary else? You know what else he doesn't want? He doesn't want to annoy you. He doesn't want to just annoy your life and be a pest. No, he wants to devour you. He wants to devour your life. You think, what's devour? Devour me? He wants to eat me? Well, he wants to destroy your life. The adversary wants to destroy your life. Do you believe that? I'm telling you, if you believe the rest of the Word of God, believe this, folks. Believe this. Don't miss this. The devil, Satan, the devil is not some spirit of bad. No, he is an individual. He's spoken about as an individual throughout the Word of God. That adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, is what Peter is saying to. He's going to and fro on the earth. That's what it says in the book of Job. Here it says he walketh about. I think is how it says here. He walketh about in the book of Job. It says he said, I've gone to and fro in the earth. He's there. You know what he's doing? Seeking whom he may devour. He's looking. Going through the congregation of the church, he's looking, seeking whom he may devour. He's looking. You're like, this is a little creepy, Pastor. I know, it is. It's a real deal. This isn't make believe. He's the Bible says he's going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Do you know how a lion chooses its prey? Because he says it's as a roaring lion. A lion chooses its prey. I've watched a lot of National Geographic. I love watching lions go eat animals. It's kind of cool. I don't know if y'all like it. It's natural. It's God's design. So it's a spiritual endeavor. You know how a lion seeks it's to seek whom it's going to devour. The lion goes for the weak. Goes for the weak. Maybe the sick. Because the truth is, lions are not as great at the hunt as you would think. Right? You think, man, a lion, they run out of energy real fast. And that's why they sleep. They lay around all day, and then when they get time to go hunt and get some more food, they go and you know, watch this. They actually miss a lot of their targets, which is not as much fun to watch. But, you know, sometimes like, way to go, gazelle, you got out of there, right? You know, but you know that it's looking for the weak. It's looking for the sick. But, you know, mostly, or there's also the sick or the lame. But the lion seeks primarily not just the sick, the weak, or the lame. The lion seeks primarily the one that is separated from the others. All alone out there doing themselves. No. There's a herd out here, and what happens is they start moving. You know what they'll do sometimes? They'll kind of surround the sick and the weak and the lame. They'll kind of surround them. You get those buffalo, water buffalo, some of the things. They get around them. They're guarding them. And the lion's going up there. You can't get to them. Others kind of get in the way. Man, it's a wonderful thing. It's kind of cool to watch, actually, that part of them guarding. But the one that's out here on their own, the lions are like, he could be the smaller one, right? He could be this. It doesn't matter. He's sick, smaller, slower, whatever. He's out here on his own. And the lions are like, I don't have to look any further. Nailed it. That's the one. Found who he's going to go after. Man, the lion has a strategy of fear. That's how lions hunt. The lion will roar loudly, right? A lion's roar is pretty, it travels far. It's pretty scary. I don't really want to be in a vulnerable place in a lion roar. It scares me too. So they scare the prey into the way of another lion. That's kind of how the process goes. But just before all that, the lion is prowling quietly, slipping in your vicinity without you even noticing, right? You see them, it's kind of funny. You see they're cats, you know, you like all of a sudden you see them out there. You're like, it's kind of cool, you know, except for they're about to eat something, you know, and they're creeping in. Through the grass, through the way. You know, they're sneaking in without you noticing, realizing it. The safest way for a lion to devour you is if there's no one else around. Listen, folks. Listen. Don't miss this part. The safest way for a lion to do this is if And the most sure way that they're going to get their prey is if there's no one else around you. No one to warn you. You see these animals, something comes, all of a sudden they start losing their minds and everybody goes together. But if you're off to the side, you're off away, no friend to talk with, no one to live out your Christian life with, no one to encourage you, no one to stand with you. No, you don't need fellowship. You don't need to be at church. You don't need the brethren, nor do they need you. Why not just go out there on your own into the flats? I'm sure it's safe out there by yourself. I can't tell you how many people. It's interesting. It's always been interesting to me that as soon as somebody gets a little bit of trouble in their life, discouragement, first thing they do is draw away from the herd, from the church, from the brethren. You're like, that's actually when you need it more. Because you need it, but who do you think is the one diverting you away? I think it's just God telling me, I need some time on my own. Now, can I tell you what? Can I tell you who it isn't? It ain't God telling you to do that. Because he says this, he says to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. So it's not God that would tell us to do that. I'm probably going to lean more toward the adversary that's seeking whom he may devour. He begins to draw away, and you know, the lions, when you see them, they'll kind of cut through and grab one off to the side, and he's done. He or she or it is done. Here's number three. Point number three, our instruction. Look again, verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Two things, two instructions are given here. Being sober and being vigilant. What these two instructions mean is this. Wake up, pay attention. That's what they mean. That's what the idea is. Wake up, pay attention. C.S. Lewis once suggested that the two mistakes Christians make and talking about Satan are that we either joke about him or we ignore him. There's a spiritual battle going on in the field of this life. I hope y'all understand that this morning. Both of these instructions refer to not being lazy in one's faith. That's what it's talking about. But to maintain discipline and steadfastness. Maybe you're saying this morning, Pastor, are you trying to scare us with the devil? Satan, that he's trying to get us, he's trying to eat me? Listen, no, I'm not trying to scare you. That's what the devil is already doing. That's what he's already doing. What I want to do this morning is what the Bible is here saying. It's just this. Wake up and pay attention. So, what do we do about the lion who's trying to destroy us? That's your question, right? I'm glad you asked. The answer happens to be right here as well. Look at verse 9. Whom, what's that next word? Resist steadfastly in the faith. Okay, our defense against the devil is not to get in a fist fight with him. Can I tell you who would lose between you and the devil? You. I can handle the devil. No, you can't. No, you can't. So, I mean, listen, we think this is a game where we can make our own rules and just make up things and we can go along with however the world works for us. But I'm saying we can't do it. That's not the way this life is lined out for us. Satan is not some little fellow that sits on our shoulder. Remember Looney Tunes? An angel over here, and the devil over here with the tail and the pitchfork's really funny, and do this, don't do this, and this kind of thing. But trying to get us to be naughty? No. Satan is the one that drew away one third of the angels that would have been in the presence of the Almighty God. One third drew them away from God while they were serving God, worshiping God. A third of them. 33%. That's a lot. You think you can handle him? No, listen. You think you can handle the devil? I got this. You ain't got this. You know who else does it? I ain't got this. We ain't got this. That's not. We think we can handle one. The Bible talks about one of the greatest angelic beings. Kind of seems what the Old Testament talks about. He's gonna come back. God's gonna let him be used to deceive the world in the tribulation period. I'm telling you, this isn't somebody that you and I can handle. He's the deceiver, he's a liar, and he's the father of it. What is interesting to realize about Satan and what corresponds with this passage is his primary sin is that of pride. His desire for glory, and his distrust of God. The Bible tells us right here that God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Which brings us to our answer of how to deal and how to battle the devil. Verse 9 again, he says it, whom resist steadfast in the faith. So, resist him steadfast in the faith. It's really this. Can I tell you, folks, is this. First of all, stay with the herd. Like, why are you calling this a herd? I don't know. It just fits with the roaring lion. Okay? Fellowship isn't just about food and fun. Amen. It is that too. Praise the Lord. But it isn't just about that. We find, by the way, I think it's biblical. We find all the time, particularly in the New Testament, I think they're getting together and eating. You know why? Because we got to eat. Man's got to eat, doesn't he? I don't know. Anyway, so what we find here is fellowship, though, isn't just about food and fun. It's about being near God's people. I don't really like the food they cook. So what? You like? I don't like coffee. You like water? Yeah, but there's no bottled water. Bring something you can drink or eat. Be around God's people. Pastor, you're just trying to Get everybody to come to fellowship. Yeah, amen. Because we have more, the people bring more food. No, listen, because you need this. I'm telling you, folks, stay near the herd. If our idea of fellowship has nothing to do with talking of the Lord and His working in our lives, it may also be the kind, may also not be the kind that will warn of us of a coming danger. No. Okay, we get together, we're going to talk about football. Nothing wrong with that. We talk about politics. We talk about some of those things. We talk about, not much, but, you know, because we talk about conspiracy theories. That's a little funner, you know. Funner ain't really a word either, so I'm putting those together. And so but you know, if all we do is talk about that, that's not going to be the kind of situation we're going to be able to warn one another. Some of that's okay, but if we, what we're talking about here, and I think what we find in the scriptures is when we're battling things together, we're in this world, we get to a place we ought to talk one to another. You're like, well, I like to keep my business private. Well, it's just not biblical. They're all right. Yo, don't worry, mamas. If something comes, they'll come get you. I know you're still worried. Cast your cares upon me. Okay. All right. Sorry. Listen, sometimes, and I know this, and I'm this way, you want to keep things private, right? You want to keep things private. And I just don't think everybody needs to know what's going on with my life. So, it doesn't matter what you think. The Word of God is giving us this constant, we're to be together, fellowship one another, and be in this place that we can have a relationship to. Can I tell you, it takes a bit of a relationship before you can tell somebody what might not be right for them without them thinking you're a jerk. It takes a relationship. I don't come in, somebody comes in, they're a first or second time visitor, I'm like, hey, you know, you really should think about how you're dressing. That was their last time visitors, what we call them, right? Or if I say, hey, you know, there's something in your life, you know, you talked about this thing, but I think that's going to probably cause some difficulty in your life. They're like, man, who do you think you are, jerk? You know what I'm saying? So it takes some time to build a relationship with one another that we can tell the gazelle, hey, you go out there, there's lions out there, they will devour you. Why don't you stay up in here with us? Take some time to build relationships. Stay with the herd, right? Speak together often of God's wonders, as well as your struggles in life with other believers. Resisting steadfast isn't just going about life like any member of society. It's to be prepared. It's really what it's talking about. We are the children of God. We are who the devil wants to devour. Listen, the world, devil isn't out there chasing after the world. They're already worthless to him. So we must be vigilant, watching for an attack. Say, again, Pastor, you're trying to get us scared. No, I'm just trying to tell you what the Word of God says, what we've got to do. Not in fear. You say, Pastor, see, that's exactly why I'm full of anxiety. I'm just scared the devil's going to get me. Come on. Not in fear, but in preparation. Turn with me over to Ephesians. I want you to see over here in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 11. Some of y'all are real familiar with this, and if you taught Sunday school, you probably taught this or anything, but I want to suggest, talk about this thing of being prepared. Verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against people, flesh and blood. We're not fighting. They're not people are not our enemy. Do you ever feel like there's people that's your enemy? Yeah. You're like, Pastor, you don't know about this neighbor of mine. You don't know about this person out here. No. They are not our enemy. They are deceived by the enemy. And the enemy may use them, but we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Okay, that's the battle. Wherefore, verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. When's the evil day? You woke up this morning, didn't you? You're in it. Amen? I think really what it means is that day, I mean, here's the good thing. The good thing is Satan isn't always trying to devour you. So I thought he always is. No. No, actually, it tells us when we resist the devil, what does he do? Flees from us. When we resist the devil, he flees from us. Oh, that's awesome. So I got a moment, right? I love it. I wish I could get that with everybody that comes along me and like, you know, you kind of just, I'm just going to resist. I guess it probably would work, wouldn't it? Huh. I just got that. Let me write that down. Okay. If we resist, you know what happens? I'm going to resist him. You know what part of what I'm going to do? I'm going to stay with the brother and say, man, this is what's going on in my life. Maybe the ladies do more of this. I don't know if y'all back there share your burdens one with another. Y'all do that back there. It's men don't want to do that. Hey, I mean, be fair, I didn't give opportunity, so I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's a little bit less. We're like, did anybody have any struggles this week? How was your week? Good. Anything happening? How's your week? It's fine. It's just kind of how we are a little bit. You know, we're kind of cut out of that cloth a little bit. And like, no, I don't want to talk about it. It's like, we're just dealing with it. But some women are like that too. I'm not saying it's just a man-woman thing. But you know why church is the easiest to be a Christian? Because everybody else is. It's the best place to sing. Like, I don't like to sing. Well, that's your problem. But if there's anywhere you want to sing about the Lord, it's right here for other people. People talk about the Lord. This is the place. You get outside there, man, it's something else. Listen, resisting steadfast isn't just about being like any other member of society. He goes on and he says here, he says, verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand therewith, having your loins girt about with what? Truth. Having truth in your life. You know a great place to find truth? Anybody? Okay, that's the place. That is the word. That is the truth. Great place to find truth is with believers. Probably not at work with the lost folk, right? Maybe you have some safe folks at church. At work. Hopefully, we have some safe folks at church. But at work, you got some safe folks. Talk about the Lord. There's a place, fellowship with brethren. You say, is it only with church folk? No, there's other people out there that aren't part of our church. Amen. That encourage you, warn you. Amen. So we find this thing, and that's what we're going to find. Be girt about with that, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, living in righteousness, right here. I'm going to live in righteousness. I'm not going to make those choices. We're going to find this is going to be the place. That's the armor of God. And he says, verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know how to resist the devil. Tell other people about Jesus. No. Not just tell other people, but be ready to tell other people. You know, think about somebody. You know, if you come and talk about your friend. No. You come talk about your friend that you're having this issue with. You're like, hey, have you talked to him about Jesus Christ? No. You know what you didn't do? You didn't put on the having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. You didn't put it on. No wonder you're going to have these struggles in life. No wonder when the devil comes to pick you off, you're not ready to resist. You're not ready to flee because, you know, to get him to flee because you're not prepared with it. You're like, well, Pastor, you just think we have to tell everybody. No, I'm just reading what the Bible has to say. I'm going to tell you what I think. Man, what I think ain't going to help you that much. But what the Word of God says, he said, just be prepared. You're like, I've just never done that. Well, it's good because now you've just learned that's how I'm going to resist this. That's how I'm not going to get picked off in the crowd. I'm going to let somebody else get picked. No, listen. Your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Trusting God. Casting your care. Trusting Him. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Man, I'm going to go out there. And I'm not just going to be a recipient of truth. I'm also going to take the truth. Like, man, it's a sword. Yeah, it pierces, divides the bone and marrow. I mean, it just pierces into somebody's soul like it did ours. Man, be ready. Preparation. And get going. Verse 18, it says this. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto. Watch what it says here. With all perseverance and supplications. There's a prepositional phrase here, isn't there? For all saints. We're meant to be in this thing together. We're meant to be in this together. Watching one for another. Persevering with supplication for all saints, he says. God has given us the way to be victorious over the enemy. And it's one with another. You may think you're failing. Maybe this morning you're thinking, you know, I'm failing other people when I don't show up. Oh, man, I'm just not, you know, I'm failing. I'm the one, I should have been here. I'm failing other people when you don't show up, when you're not in your place. Maybe we've said that. You know, we've said stuff like that. When you're not there, it's discouraging people, this and that. And you're like, ah, so, you know, listen, you think I'm failing other people when I'm not there and I should be in my place and when I'm not gathered together. But can I tell you this morning this? Who you failed is yourself. Setting yourself on the edge to be picked off by the adversary. We have a great God that cares for us. Let's cast your care upon Him. Maybe this morning what you need to do is go over and grab someone else and say, I want to pray for you. Maybe go to someone and say, would you pray for me? I know it's like, man, what preaching? That's weird. It is weird. It's weird if we don't do it. But I'm telling you, if all we do is we just be in each other's vicinity, it's not enough. This is what it looks like in a foxhole. You know what a foxhole is? It's where you hide when people are shooting at you. It's a hole you jump down in, so when the bullets, they go over your head, not in your head. Right? You have a helmet, you peek up, and if they take the helmet off, you go back down. Right? I'm going to tell you, when you're in a foxhole, you know what you think is going to be happening? You're going to die. Or there's a great chance of it. And so, you know who is your best friend in the whole wide world at that time? Whoever's in there with you. There's an old saying, there's no atheists in a foxhole. Right? That's what it looks like in a foxhole when we know there's an enemy. We know there's a danger. Like, you know what? I want somebody to be in this with me, and I want to be in for someone else. This morning, we go into our time of invitation. Say, God, maybe there's a few things. Maybe say, God, I need to cast my care upon you because I realize this is where you care for me. Maybe this morning you've got something in your life right now, something right now that's real heavy on you, keeping you up at night, taking all your time, your energy, your thoughts. It's keeping you from what you ought to be doing. Say, God, this morning I want to come. I want to come. Hey, you're like, man, I don't. You already told me I got anxiety. Now you want me to come up front? If you need to kneel at your seat, do that. Respond, Lord, say, God, I want to just cast this upon you. And then maybe this morning what you're going to realize is, maybe what you realize this morning, I have not been gathered. It's supplicating one with another. And that's really making me vulnerable. And I want to just make a decision this morning. I'm going to do that. Let's all stand together. Father, I do pray that you'd help us. Lord, we desperately need to realize this morning that there is an enemy. Lord, your word talks about it over and over, and yet, Lord, we sometimes just pass it over. We look at just the cares of this world. Yet, Lord, you've told us that there is an adversary that's as a roaring lion, and he's seeking us out. Lord, even this morning as we speak of this, it's in his ears. So, Lord, we're asking you to encourage us. Help us to see from your word what your plan is to resist the devil. And Lord, you've given us a wonderful way to cause him to flee from us, Lord, if we'll resist him. Or maybe this morning Lord, there's burdens in the hearts of some of your people. Lord, I pray that right now you would encourage them to come and to cast that upon you. Or because we realize that you care for us. Lord, we'll give you thanks. We'll give you praise for it now in Jesus.